Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for sticking with us for the second part of the show. Appreciate having you here with us in the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Make a quick mention again for those of you that are tuning in. If you go to our website at darknessradio.com and click on the trips button, you'll be able to pull up information regarding all of our upcoming retreats that we're going to be doing. And we've got some really cool stuff that's going to be coming up. As a matter of fact, we've just added a extension, if you will, to the Stanley event. We had such a good turnout of people that bought tickets. Once we sold out, we had so many people looking to buy tickets that we ended up extending the trip. So all of the celebrities, all of the speakers, all of the hosts are going to stay on at the Stanley Hotel April 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and we all go back the 4th. It's going to be an awesome opportunity for you to come on out and talk to the experts, hear what's going on, check out one of the most haunted locations in the United States. Tim and I were out there in November. Tim, that was crazy. Well over half the people had personal experiences.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
They had just a great time, you know, everything from chairs being flipped into the middle of the room, crazy EVPs, you've got shadow things walking around the halls that weren't you and I. It was just a fun time, and plus it was just such a fun time, you know, hanging out with all the people. So we did extend that trip. If you want, you can go to darknessradio.com and click on the trips banner, or you can go to darknessevents.com. It'll take you right to the trip section of our website, and that way you can look up all the different trips. We added a trip to Eastern State Penitentiary. For those of you Ghost Hunter fans, you'll recognize that as the site of the Shadow Man capture that has been so controversial from the TV show Ghost Hunters. I almost said Ghost Whisperer. But we're going to be out there doing that event. That'll be June 21st through the 24th, and that's out in Philadelphia at Eastern State Penitentiary. Joining us on that trip, man, do we have a hell of a lineup for that one. That's going to be great, too. We've got Jason, Grant, and Steve Gonzalez from the TV show Ghost Hunters. We also have Chris Fleming, the psychic sensitive from Dead Famous. Then we've got John Zaffis, the godfather of the paranormal, the hardest working man in the paranormal. That's right. Then we have Adam Bly, the demonologist and psychologist who's become wildly popular at our events with his talks. And to top it off, we've got Professor Paranormal himself, Lloyd Auerbach, will be joining us on the event. He'll be doing a talk about the paranormal. It's called the Parapsychology for Ghost Hunters. This is the name of his talk. We've got Rosemary Ellen Guiley. We've got the author, Linda Zimmerman. We've got the guys from Terror Normal. That's right, the new paranormal show that's being worked on, Terror Normal. You can check that out by going to myspace.com/terrornormal, all one word. Check out what's going on with those guys. They've got some exciting stuff going on, but they're going to be there to show their episode and do a Q&A with you there as well. We've got a hypnotist comedian Russ Clark will be out there having a great time. It's a lot of fun, and we are going to go back to the Queen Mary. We're going to be doing that trip out in, it looks like the end of November, first weekend of December time frame. So the website's got all the information up there. Hope you'll come out and join us. We had a fantastic time out there. As a matter of fact, we got some amazing photographs and EVP evidence, and Chris Fleming, while in the pool area where the little girl Jackie the ghost was, actually called out and over 50 people ended up hearing her converse with Chris and singing. So, I mean, what better could you hope for on a paranormal trip than having wild paranormal experiences like that? So come on out, join us, have a good time. Check our website for all that information. Now we're going to get into tonight's show. As a matter of fact, our guest that we have on is going to be joining us out at the Stanley on both the regular retreat and on the extension retreat. He was referred to us actually by our first guest this evening, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And we checked out his website, been on the phone with him, a great guy. He's going to actually come out, talk to us, do a presentation for us at the Stanley. And he's got some really cool equipment he's going to be bringing along with him. Our guest this evening is Mark Macy, and he's an award-winning afterlife author and researcher in ITC, or instrumental transcommunication. That's the use of technical equipment to get information from the worlds of spirit in the form of voices, images, and text. He's talked on the phone with departed colleagues, and with the use of a subtle energy device called a Luminator, he has photographed many clear spirit faces of late colleagues, loved ones, and celebrities, including John Denver. So, Tim, finally, you can communicate with John Denver.
Excellent.
Yes. So the results that he does on these research can actually be seen and heard on his websites at spiritfaces.com and www.worlditc.org. So, again, it's www.spiritfaces.com and www.worlditc.org, and in his new book, Spirit Faces, Truth About the Afterlife. So we'd like to welcome to our show this evening Mr. Mark Macy. Good evening, Mark.
Hi, Dave. Tim, it's really nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate having you on here with us this evening. And we really appreciate you joining us at the Stanley event to do the talk and share your information with us there.
Yeah, we don't live too far from Estes Park, but it's such a beautiful place. My wife and I actually had our honeymoon there some 25 years ago. It's a beautiful place where the Stanley Hotel is.
And that's when you guys were like 7 years old, right?
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, the Stanley is a gorgeous place, and the surroundings are just breathtaking. And boy, how about those elk? That's crazy, Mark.
It's incredible, man.
Those elk are gigantic. Let's talk a little bit now. You've got a book out. Let's talk about the book, Spirit Faces, The Truth About the Afterlife. With this, now, this is the book. You use the Luminator to create and capture these photographs. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know on the cover of the book, I'm looking at it, to me, and help me out so we understand exactly what we're looking at, because I know everybody's going to go check out the site. We see on here a photograph of a woman with kind of a ghostly image of her face in front of it. Now, is that her face, or is it supposed to be the face of a ghost of a loved one or relative that's floating in front of hers?
Actually, that's kind of an unusual picture. Usually we get just a person and with a spirit showing up over the person. In this particular case, Mimi is really a beautiful young woman, and the two faces that showed up totally replaced hers. One is a young man and one is her mother, kind of an older-looking woman. And so in that particular picture, both of the spirit faces kind of replaced her face altogether.
Wow. Yeah, because that is okay, now that you're saying it, I can see it. If you're saying she's a younger woman. Now, I don't see the male image in there, but my resolution is not the greatest on my computer screen, but there's a male face on there as well, you're claiming?
Well, the fellow who's looking out at to the left, it's kind of a feminine-looking face, but I've studied it pretty hard. It looks like a young man.
Okay.
The higher face, and the lower face is the older woman.
Well, yeah, you can definitely see the older woman's face in there, but like I said, I didn't know because the hair looks so similar if it was just a motion that was going on. Now, the people are perfectly still when you take these photographs, right?
Yes, and so is the camera.
Now, explain to us, how are you getting, or is this something you can't get into too much? I'm sure you share about it in your book, but how are you getting the effects like this?
Well, the Luminator you mentioned, it's a subtle energy device developed by a fellow in Michigan named Patrick Richards, and it emits this energy field, subtle energy. People who are sensitive can kind of feel a bristling sensation when they're in the presence of the Luminator. And it somehow creates sort of a matrix or something. I've heard it described in different ways, but it seems to melt away the barriers between the physical and the spiritual realm, so spirit can come in close and draw upon the ectoplasm we have or the spiritual substances we have in our body, and they can develop a spirit body that's dense enough to show up on film. That's, in a nutshell, how it works.
Now, you're taking these with a Polaroid camera, that's correct?
Correct, yeah. We just there's nothing changed with a Polaroid camera except that we cover the light flash units so that it emits just a tiny flicker of light instead of full flash, because a full flash, any sort of intense lighting will wash away these effects. It has to be done in a dark lighting situation.
Okay, now you're actually going to bring the Luminator with you to the event, correct?
Yes.
And you're going to make it available. You're going to, I think we talked, you're going to go really nice low price, only $5 if people want to get a picture taken with the Luminator and see if ghostly images appear around you, correct?
Correct.
All right, well, that's awesome. I mean, that's a, boy, you can't even beat that price for $5. That's an amazing deal.
Yeah.
I say you screw them and charge them $15, Mark. Let's do that. we'll split it. You, me, and Tim will go out that night for beers, okay?
No, $5 is okay. Good. We cover the price of the film. That's good.
That's right. So now, how did you discover this, and what led you to believe that creating this machine would allow you to build this? To me, it almost sounds like you're making like a movie screen that this light is projecting against to capture these photographs. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, actually, from the early 90s, I was involved in this field of research called ITC, which is getting in touch with the other side through TVs, radios, telephones, computers, and other equipment. And that's when I was talking on the phone with my spirit friends, and other colleagues were getting contacts by computer. Well, one of my I was putting out a newsletter at that time, and one of the subscribers suggested I visit a fellow named Jack Stuckey, who lives in Colorado. He's a therapist, and he had a Luminator, a device that allowed him to take unusual pictures of people, and it also was used in his therapy practice. So I visited Jack, and I saw the pictures he was taking, and I identified him right away as spirit pictures. And so I figured I needed to get one of these for my research. So I contacted the inventor in Michigan and purchased one, and I've been using it ever since. And it doesn't provide real meaningful information from the other side like some aspects of ITC do, but the beauty of the Luminator is it provides really good, solid evidence that our world is superimposed by the spirit worlds, and they can show up in our lives and in our work in meaningful ways.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you said you started with the ITC. That was the way you began. Now, I believe there was a special I saw, boy, and this was like in the 92, 93. Maybe it was on like Sightings or something like that. Maybe you can help me out. Where there was a gentleman that was filming static on a TV screen. And then, which I think they ended up using in white noise too, right, to create that like tunnel effect. And then they would see faces appear in that snow. Now, is that what you were involved with? Is that...
Yes, that was me on the TV. I think it was I was on the Sightings episode and an old TV show called The Other Side that you might...
The Other Side. Oh, right. Okay. Now, with that episode, though, now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember the information I looked at. Was it that you found this when you were experimenting with it and you had a loved one come through to you, a daughter or a relative like that?
No, with the TV images, I was showing results from Europe at that time. As far to my knowledge, nobody in the States has received any really good, clear spirit faces on TV up to this point. But in Europe, they were getting all sorts of really great images. So I was sharing those on TV at that time.
Okay. How are they, you know, I mean, everybody automatically is going to say it's some kind of bleed through from another channel. But, like, you know, if you look at if you go to your website at worlditc.org, you have some images there, like Doc Mueller. Is it Doc Mueller or Mueller?
Mueller. Yeah.
Mueller, okay, Doc Mueller, where you've got the photograph of him, and then you've got the image that appeared on the TV screen, which is really kind of strange because it almost looks like an exact copy of that photograph.
That happens quite a lot, we found. The spirit body is kind of malleable. They can change their appearance and... sometimes they come through looking old to us, as they did in old age, because that's kind of what we're expecting.
Right.
And sometimes they'll, very often, they'll come through in an appearance that resembles something that they looked like on Earth. Like, if George Washington was to come through, he'd probably look like he looks on a dollar bill, because that's the way most people recognize him. And it's a combination of their intention and our intention that creates... image we see. It's hard to understand by earthly physics, but that's the way spirit world physics seems to work. It's kind of a combined, the minds of the two or more entities kind of form this reality.
Wow. I mean, that's crazy, the photographs that you're able to pull up on this. And I'm just flipping through some of the different pictures. Now, you actually have, was it the luminator you used that you caught what you believe to be the face of John Denver?
Yeah, it was. Back in the 70s, when I got out of the Navy, I was driving across country to visit my brother in New York, and Rocky Mountain High was on the radio all the time, you know, so it just lifted my spirits every time I heard it, you know. I felt like
right.
I was flying to New York, you know.
Sure.
So I kind of resonated with him ever since, the Colorado connection, you know. And so when he died, a number of his friends and some of my colleagues, we were all hoping that he would start coming through, and so on that particular occasion, we believe he did.
So who is the photograph that it's being taken over?
This was one of his friends was at that workshop, but this happened to be a picture of Joy Schilling, a woman who owns a metaphysical bookstore in Colorado Springs. She didn't know him personally, but there seemed to be a resonance, and that's the key to this work, is we resonate with different people in spirit, and those are the ones who kind of work with us, whether it's through somebody like John Edwards or James Van Praagh or an ITC researcher or just anybody. Whoever we resonate with on the other side, they're there with us to support us. And there seemed to be some sort of inner resonance between this Joy Schilling and John Denver. They seem to have a lot of the same nature or personality, I guess.
Okay. Now I see that you also can do this with computer. Faces have made their appearances on computer screens as well?
Those are some of the most amazing contacts we've gotten, mostly in Europe. There's a couple who would leave for work in the morning. They'd make sure that everything at home was turned off. And they'd get home in the evening after work, and sometimes there'd be a computer running, and there'll be new files planted on the disk. The files might contain text, or they might contain images, actual letters and pictures from the other side describing in detail what life is like over there. And it's not just, you know, when you see these TV shows like Ghost Whisperer or Meet the Medium,
mm-hmm.
they talk about these individuals going to the light.
Right.
And that's where ITC is really focused. It's not the troubled souls who are stuck near the earth, the ghosts and the apparitions, but we're opening communication bridges to the light, to this paradise world where people get settled in and they just enjoy blissful lives, and some of them decide they want to support people on Earth, and they want to support these ITC projects, and so...
So let me get this straight real quick just before we go too far on. So not only do faces appear, but emails or I don't want to say emails, but documents will appear on people's computers?
Yes.
From loved ones?
Yes. Loved ones, or it's actually the spirit group. It's more than just one or two people on this side and one or two people on that side. It's usually a team of people on this side working with a dedicated spirit group who's working over a period of time with us and also with ethereal beings or higher beings to open up these communication channels. And that's when we start getting these more miraculous forms of contacts.
Unbelievable. Well, and you do. You have to see it to believe it yourself. And, you know, again, check out our website. We'll probably have a lot of people check it out during the show, and we get a lot of downloads of the show afterwards. But worlditc.org is the website to go look at to see a lot of this. There's also a link there that will actually take you to the Spirit Faces location as well. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. So you can do that. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is Mark Macy. And we will be back with more with Mark Macy and talking about Spirit Faces, the book that he has out, Truth About the Afterlife, and talk about ITC and a little bit more about the applications and how we can do these things and experiment with it at home. We'll be back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard, they're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
I've got a blowout, neighbor three.
Get your pitch to zero.
Pitch is out, I can't hold altitude.
Direction, alpha mode is on. Trip select is emergency.
Flight calm, I can't hold it, she's breaking up, she's breaking...
Dave.
You bastard!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Forrest, run! Run, Forrest!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Hey, good evening and welcome back to the show. Our guest this evening is Mark Macy, and he's an award-winning afterlife author and researcher in ITC, or instrumental transcommunication. It's the use of technical equipment to get information from the worlds of spirit in the form of voices, images, and text. Mark, before we went to the break, we were kind of talking about the different ways that ITC has been used with computers, TV screens, the illuminator that you're using for photography. What do you find are the best ways for spirit communication audibly?
Telephone. I mean, if you have a spirit group that can come through telephone, it's by far the clearest and most meaningful conversation you can imagine with the other side. But unless you have that bridge built, you know, it's the most popular way is simply EVP, the use of a tape recorder.
Just that. Now, how are you using a phone to communicate with the dead?
Well,
And what kind of calling plan are you on?
You just use a regular telephone, and you don't call them, unfortunately. You have to kind of wait until they call you. And
oh, that's a story of my life, Mark.
Yeah, I know. The phone rings in a normal way, and then you answer it, and you just have a conversation. It's pretty amazing.
All right, so we've got... To me, that's just crazy. So are you putting out an intention? Are you picking up the phone and going, give me a call, I'm waiting, and hang up? I mean, how do you get this thing to get going? Because I sit at home all day long working, and I don't get calls from the dead, Mark. I need to know how we can do this.
Okay. We were told back in the early 90s and even late 80s that the ITC, the miraculous kinds of contacts, wouldn't happen on a big scale until... team of researchers from different countries could work together. The other side is kind of fostering a project in which it becomes a world effort, not just an effort of a few individuals. So in 1995, we established this group called INIT, or the International Network for Instrumental Transcommunication. It involved 13 researchers from different countries. And once we did that, miraculous things began to happen. That's when we started getting the really tremendous computer contacts in Europe, and I started getting a lot of phone calls. Different people get TV and radio contacts, and it seemed to come about as a result of the resonance of a group of people, which is not an easy thing to sustain over time. Being human, we have these egos and we have hormones, and they kind of undermine our efforts to sustain harmony over a period of time. But that's what we need for ITC contacts, is for these bridges to be built. It requires a certain harmony and trust among researchers over a period of time. And this is not easy to sustain, we found out.
Now, how often were you getting phone calls, and how did you know they were from the dead? Was it a relative or a friend that you knew was gone?
No, all the phone calls I got were from a researcher who had died. His name was Konstantin Raudaev, and he was a pioneer in the EVP before he died. I had a caller ID on the phone, but when they called, it just said out of area, which is kind of an understatement, you know.
Right.
But sometimes I would get a phone call, and then the same day or the next day, a colleague of mine in Europe, especially a fellow named Adolf Holmes, would receive a computer contact, and it would say, "This is Konstantin Raudaev. I herewith confirm my contact with colleague Macy in the States by telephone." And so we would get cross contacts like that to confirm to us that these were legitimate contacts.
But how do you know it wasn't just somebody quacking both of you?
Well, the computer he used was an old Commodore 64. It had no internet connection. It was connected to nothing except the power outlet in the wall and the keyboard and the printer. So somebody would have had to break into his home, you know, and plant the message, unless Adolf Holmes himself was pulling everybody's chain. But we know that's not the case. So he was, his efforts were being closely recorded by a physicist in Germany named Ernst Senkowski, who's probably the most highly regarded ITC researcher in the world. So we just know from experience that this is for real. But for a skeptical outsider, it's natural to be to have doubts, you know, unless it happens to them.
Well, the first time you got a phone call, were you going, "Come on, who is this? Who is it really?"
No, because I've been working with I had colleagues in Europe at that time who were getting these tremendous contacts, and I'd seen enough evidence to know that they were for real. So when they happened to me, I was about 95% certain that they were legitimate. And once we got to cross contacts, I was 100% convinced.
Well, you know those crazy Germans. They might have been just pulling your leg. "Okay, Franz, you call up Mark. Tell him that you're Konstantin. It's going to be hilarious. He's going to love this thing. Go ahead, do it. Boo. Boo, Mark, I'm a ghost. How are you?"
That's a good point. You know, he had a Northern European accent, right. And some of my colleagues had a similar accent. So based on that, a lot of my skeptical colleagues here in the States accused them of doing a hoax, you know. But
there should be, since he was a pioneer in EVP, there's got to be audio of his voice.
Yeah.
Right? And have you ever compared audio of his voice to the audio that you recorded? I mean, is it a pretty dead-on match?
So to speak.
Very good. And if so, where was Rich Little at the time? That's all
yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah. Well, his secretary obviously knew him very closely, very intimately, you know. So when she heard the voices, she's listened to him closely. A lot of the telephone and radio contacts that he's made since his passing, and she knows for certain that it's him, just because of the personality and the voice together.
Well, you know, if you're listening out there, Mr. Raudaev, we've got a couple open phone lines. We'd be happy to take your calls.
Yeah, we would.
So feel free to give us a ring, and we're here for you. We're not going to give out the number, just, you know, so there's no trickery or tomfoolery going on. But feel free to give us a call. I'm one of the ones that believe in the phone conversations without too much thought, Mark. And the reason I do that is after my grandmother passed, she not only made physical connection with me where she came back to visit me as a child, but she also phoned my aunt on at least two occasions that I'm aware of. And when my aunt, you know, heard this, now of course a lot of people think, oh, it's a dream or something, but when she screamed, my grandfather ran into the room and grabbed the phone, and the other end of the line was dead. There wasn't that annoying noise. There was no dial tone, nothing. It was just a dead line, so to speak, if you will, again. But you know, it's kind of interesting that phone calls from the dead have actually occurred for, you know, as long as the phone has been around.
That's true.
The stories are amazing that kind of, you know, have happened with There's a really good famous story, I don't mean to digress too much from your experiences, but where the little girl of the housekeeper next to this woman, the housekeeper had become really ill. He'd hurt himself, and if he had hurt his back pretty bad, and I guess if he slept in a certain way, he could actually suffocate and die. And this little girl had died a few years before, and the woman was at home, and her phone rang, and the little girl's voice came on and said, you know, introduced herself and said something like, "My daddy needs your help." And she went over to the house, and sure enough, the father had fallen asleep in the wrong position, and there, you know, she was able to get him safely awake and keep him from becoming paralyzed or dying. So, I mean, that's like one of the more dramatic cases out there. But phone calls from the dead have been happening, you know, pretty much as long as phones have been in existence.
Yep.
Now, how many of the cases that you've dealt with or heard of, does there seem to be a certain amount of them that, you know, I mean, we've heard about the ones where it takes place instantaneously, you know, upon my co-host Tim dying, my phone rings and it's Tim saying goodbye to me. And then I hang up the phone. I'm like, what the hell was that about? And then 10 minutes later, I get a call from the hospital that he died.
Yeah.
That's been a pretty popular one. Then there's, of course, the ones where you get the call prior to death and they're in a coma. You know, I mean, how often do you hear stories like that, or have you collected those stories as well?
I've heard quite a few, and, you know, these things happen a lot more than most of us would believe that they happen. They are pretty common, these phone calls from the other side.
It was Lou Gentili, the radio show host, too. He did a talk. He was saying that this woman was being haunted. They set up all their equipment in their house, and they left the house. And they're all sitting at dinner. There's nobody there, and her house kept calling her cell phone.
Hmm.
So, you know, I mean, her phone would start ringing, and it was coming from inside the house. But, you know, I mean, there was nobody there, and they had video cameras covering every angle in the house. So, of course, they went back to see if anybody was screwing around in there, and there was nobody at the house. So, I mean, just the...
There seems to be a case where I think spirit has always tried to come through in any way they could, whether it was crystal balls or cards or whatever the latest technology has been.
Right.
And now we have telephones and radios and computers, and so they see this as a tremendous opportunity to start opening really meaningful channels with the other side. And so it's starting to happen on a pretty grand scale.
Well, and it makes sense if spirits are nothing more than an energy form now, that manipulating energy should seem to be a little bit easier to do, and manipulating the energy to work a phone or come over, you know, as a TV signal or something like that. Of course, now we live in the advent of cable and satellite. We don't have any blank TV channels to kind of stare at, you know, unless we hook up our TV without any antenna to it. But
a big part of it is transducing the energy from the subtle energies of their world and their equipment. They actually have equipment on their side, and trying to make them interact with dense energies that we have in this world, the electromagnetic range, you know.
Right. Let me ask this. Now, your pictures that you do, the spirit faces, you always seem to take a picture in front of a person. Have you ever just taken a picture in a room and caught faces and things in the room with the illuminator going on?
You know, I've tried on a number of occasions to do that, but it seems to require them to be right with the physical body and take on some of this spiritual substance that we have in our bodies. That seems to be the only way I've seen it work so far.
So they're almost using this like a transmitting tower.
Yes.
Now, Tim's got a quick question for you here, Mark.
Just a quick one, Mark. You had stated that they have equipment on the other side.
Uh-huh.
Like what?
Oh, they whatever they used in their lifetime. They might have an old telephone or a radio. They have the things that they have on their side, whether it's food or vehicles or homes or buildings or forests, oceans, equipment, whatever. It's manufactured by thought, kind of a combination of their thought, plus it's facilitated by the more powerful thoughts of ethereal beings or higher beings who interact with their world. So that when they're communicating with us, it's not like they're transmitting from some distant location out in space, but all of these spirit worlds are superimposed over each other and over our world. Time and space are kind of illusions of our dimension. So when they contact us, they set up their equipment, or they have their equipment right in the lab with us, or in our home, or in your case, the studio, you know, and they make their equipment interact directly with ours in a way that we don't fully understand at this time.
So then let me ask you this, Mark. If they have the equipment that they had when they crossed over to the other side, how could they make such a scientific breakthrough as to get to us here on this side? Because technically, if you have the same equipment as you had Like, say, if you passed away in 1920, you know, even though you may have advanced knowledge on the other side, you don't necessarily have the tools. You'd have to invent something, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you see, but it's really a spirit group that involves people from many eras. So you have not just Edison's and the people from the turn of the 20th century, but you also have people who are dying nowadays, and they're familiar with computers and modern technologies, and you even have people from the future, apparently, who have futuristic technologies, and so you have all these things working together on the other side.
Well, wasn't it Doc Mueller that was coming through and helping to build, was it SpiritCom? Was that what he was helping build?
Yeah, the SpiritCom device.
Right, now, he was somebody that had been dead. Now, help me remember, now, Doc Mueller, was he the, was he a NASA, not with NASA, was it NASA?
Well, you know, that was a confusion. We still have that on our website, but it turns out there was another George Mueller who worked with NASA, but this George Mueller was a university professor. I'm not sure which university yet, but I haven't done all the research yet, but he was...
Well, didn't the theory or the story go that he was coming back and helping them build SpiritCom, but in order to prove who he was, he told them where his death certificate was or his something or other that I thought they were able to actually track and realize that this guy wasn't just a kook.
Yeah, he gave him all sorts of personal information, unlisted phone numbers, social security number, almost like a resume, a detailed resume about his life. They checked up on most of that information and found out that it checked out.
But I thought that was, he was giving like high-ranking official numbers at NASA and at the government level. How would a professor have that?
There was some confusion in some people's research. He didn't actually say something about NASA. I think that was gathered independently by a researcher who made a mistake.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately. So, but the information he did give us was legitimate, yeah.
Right, but now he came through and actually said, okay, this is how you build this. You need to put this here and that there, right? So if time is not linear in the ether world, he might have been able to see how it was built by... because he's already seen it built in the future. Is that right? Is that what you're assuming? And that if whatever he thinks he can create on the other side so he can make the communication to us through our current or rudimentary equipment, is that right?
Yes. That's pretty close, yeah.
All right. Now, so what are your thoughts on, are we actually speaking to a spirit world or are we talking to alternate dimensions?
It's the same thing, basically. I think... spirit worlds are basically other dimensions. They're finer realms of existence. Like radio signals are all distinguished by their frequency, even though they're all jumbled together, you know. The spirit worlds also are distinguished by their vibration. It's a spiritual vibration rather than a radio frequency, but it's like a vibration of life, I guess. And all these worlds remain distinct by this vibration.
Okay, so... I get that. I kind of get it. Let me say this. So I don't know if I am on the same page as you, though. So when we die, I mean, in your belief, is there a heaven and hell? Are we going to different places like that? And some of them just continue on in our realm in just a slightly different shade of reality? Or do we graduate from this reality to another reality?
The best way to explain it is that when we're alive on Earth, we establish these patterns of thought, patterns of behavior. And it's these patterns that kind of act as a homing signal to take us to a certain vibration level after we die. It's a totally different world, but it's very similar to this world. A lot of the same structures. But if we're... our mind is kind of like a radio tuner. If we're tuned into love and trust and goodwill and decency, we have a good feeling about people, we establish a fine spiritual vibration in our spirit body while we're still alive. So that when we lose the physical body, that spiritual body continues to exist at a fine level of existence in these paradise worlds, what they call beyond the light, you know, when people go into the light.
Mm-hmm.
But if our thoughts on Earth are kind of trapped in doubts and fears and animosities and resentments toward people, then we establish kind of a dense vibration for our spirit body. And in this case, we lose our physical body and we move to these rather dense spiritual realms, close to the Earth, like you see people who are stuck in Ghost Whisperer or the Medium. And people stay there for a little while, and they eventually move on to paradise where they belong, but they have to process this kind of troubled thinking for a while. So that's basically the heaven and hell legend as it really is.
Okay. I'm curious, too, as I'm overlooking your site here at worlditc.org, Do the faces that have appeared on TVs and computer screens, are they ever animated? Do they move at all, or is it usually just a stagnant, like a snapshot?
The TV images?
TV or the computer screen images, anything like that.
Okay, the computer screen images come across as like TIFF files or JPG files, so they're okay. Just static pictures, but the TV images, some of them have come through actual motion pictures, moving pictures of landscapes or people talking. You can see their lips moving.
Okay, so you could actually see them actively doing something. It wasn't just an image zapped on the screen.
We've gotten both kinds of pictures on the TV. All static right. And moving.
Have these spirits come forth and told you guys anything earth-shattering that you're not allowed to release at this point?
They've told us a lot of mind-boggling, earth-shaking things, but we've not been told. We've not been restricted. They said that everything they've told us we could share. So I've shared a lot of that in the book. For example, they talked about.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? We have to take a quick break. We'll leave people kind of hanging here for a second. Okay. When we come back, let's hear some of these earth-shattering thoughts and share a little bit more about the book. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest is author Mark Macy, and we're here talking about his book, Spirit Faces, Truth About the Afterlife, in his worlditc.org website. Again, we'll be back right after this.
Don't you dare move. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
If you read Taft's Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taft's Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TaftsParamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
Seems like a lot of strange things happen in the world of Mark Macy, too. We've got spirit faces popping up on his Polaroid pictures. You've got faces showing up on TV screens. JPEGs and TIFF files popping up on computers with stories of the afterlife. It's an amazing life you're leading, Mark. Do you ever just sit back and think, am I going nuts?
Well, I did at first, but I've kind of reconciled it all, and it's pretty fun. There's a lot of fun in this life.
Let's talk a little bit about the secrets of the universe.
Okay.
You said they've given you some of these mind-blowing things that have happened, you know, or are going to happen. Can you share a couple of those with us and a little bit of the thoughts of the people involved that heard this?
This is the story told to us by a group of ethereal beings who say they followed our world and supported us for tens of thousands of years. So by the time they told us this story, I developed kind of an implicit trust in the things they said, but this was such a mind-boggling thing. It took me about a year to reconcile it. They said that there used to be a planet between Mars and Jupiter called Marduk, or is also called Eden, and it was inhabited by this highly advanced human species. It was a paradise world, and they had mastered space travel, so they colonized the Earth and probably some other planets as well. They didn't tell us, but certainly the Earth. They were studying the primitive hominids here on planet Earth at the time. Meanwhile, the technologies back on their home planet, Marduk or Eden, got out of hand, and they destroyed their planet. It blew up, and so the asteroids rained down on the planets, like on the Earth, and caused havoc here and on other planets, and it resulted in kind of the asteroid belt that now exists between Mars and Jupiter in this extra-large orbit that circles our sun. And so the people who are these advanced beings who are stranded here on Earth, they set about establishing colonies here on Earth, and the they still had some of the advanced technologies left over from their home planet. But this world here on Earth was so rugged and primitive and harsh. I mean, animals, really deadly animals, killing each other for food. And it was just a difficult place to live. And so they found it kind of an inhospitable climate, so they decided to crossbreed with the primitive hominids who were existing on Earth at that time, probably the Neanderthals. They didn't give us a name exactly, but that's my take on it. And so it was this crossbreeding that led to not only the legends like the fall of grace of man from the Garden of Eden, but also led to modern humans. We're the product of this crossbreeding between these highly advanced beings from this planet Eden that existed between Mars and Jupiter and the primitive hominids of Earth. And so that's why kind of today we're kind of like a schizophrenic species. You know, we rally for peace one day and then we wage war the next day. You know, we have this very mixed heritage.
Right. Well, that's pretty amazing. Now, have they found any proof that there may have been planets between our planets in the solar system yet?
Well, that's been one theory for quite a few years, that the asteroid belt that exists between Mars and Jupiter, there's no explanation to why that exists, but one other than a planet that exploded.
Okay. How about, what would give us another mind-blowing thought that was going on?
Well, let's see, they said that...
anything cool like peanut butter cures cancer? You know, or listen to darkness radio, it rules? Anything, you know, really mind-blowing like that?
Nothing, I can't think of anything like that offhand.
Okay. Well, how about, what else otherwise do you have as some of the other things
that
came
up? Well, they talked about, they went ahead and said that the civilization of Atlantis developed out of these ancient technologies, but they went ahead and blew up Atlantis too, I guess. They caused that to sink. They told us the timeline of that. It happened about 1220 BC, I guess. I believe that's when they said it was. And the King's Island of Atlantis was located about a little bit east of the current island of Helgoland off of the North German and Danish coast. So it wasn't in the South Pacific as we sometimes, or South Atlantic. It was actually up north, around northern Germany, I guess. That's where the King's Island of Atlantis was.
Okay, so they gave you that. Now, have they done any dives or any research to try to correlate with that finding?
There have been some ancient walls and structures found in that area, yeah.
Now, did that happen after you guys found out about this, or was it before?
I don't know. I think it was probably before, but I think if they did some diving in that specific spot that I mentioned, I think they'd find a lot of interesting things.
Well, have you talked to anybody that... I mean, there's constant things going on with searching for Atlantis. As a matter of fact, I just watched a show, I think, on Discovery or History Channel called Seeking Atlantis about a week ago.
Yeah.
And they're looking for people that claim to believe. Now, one of the interesting things was off the Greek Isles, this one gentleman believes that he has found the ruins. And... he says nobody's checked it out yet, and they were, you know, very skeptical of it. He said he would take them out there, but that they couldn't tell where it was. And he took them out there, and sure as hell, they found these huge tiles, like ceiling tiles, or not ceiling tiles, but roofing tiles, like the clay roofing tiles. They found pillars, they found shapes, formations, possibly steps going up and down in this location. So, I mean, they're certainly interested in looking into this kind of stuff. Have you guys thought of bringing it out to scientific Discovery channels or things like that that may be willing to do an expedition on the information that you guys were given?
All in good time, I guess. Everybody, a lot of people have theories about where Atlantis is, and everybody's interested is exploring in their own way, at their own pace, you know. So it'll come out eventually, and I've made it public in books, and I've got an article coming out in Venture Inward magazine about it. So.
That's right. You do have is there an article that you just did about Atlantis, or is it a book that you did? I apologize again.
The book Spirit Faces has a chapter on Atlantis and Eden and Marduk and all that.
Okay.
Then I have an article that will come out sometime this year in Venture Inward, the Edgar Cayce magazine.
Oh, right. All right.
And Rosemary Guiley wrote an article about the work in Atlantis Rising, I guess.
Oh, right, that's what it was. I'd read that, and that was, is that for Fate magazine? Is that, or?
That also, she wrote one for Fate magazine also.
Okay, all right, that's where I recognize. I thought there was an article I'd read on it. Right.
So we're trying hard to get the word out, but it just takes time, you know.
All right, let's end the show a little bit. Now, for people that want to start experimenting with these things at home, would you recommend that? Or do you think that you're opening up portals to dangerous places at all?
Well, it's like any medium to open up, whether it's a Ouija board or crystal ball or electronic equipment. It 99%, well, 95%, I think, is your attitude. If you have the right attitude, if you have a lot of enthusiasm and inspiration about the other side, and there are people on the other side you absolutely love who have died, you know, I think it's a great thing to experiment in any way you can. But if you're full of trepidation and fear about what you might run into, like monsters and ghosts and spooks, you know, it's better to wait until you can reconcile that and develop a comfortable feeling about the afterlife, and then start experimenting.
Well, you know, with that said, have you and all the experiments that you guys have done and have heard, have they ever gotten creepy, demonic-looking faces or things that didn't look friendly, or possibly even alien faces popping up on the screen?
Yeah. During the period of about 5 or 6 years when our international group was really harmonious and everything was really good, we all just had we were complete friends and really close friends with everybody in different countries. We were getting nothing but wonderful contacts from the other side. But then some egos and personalities began to take over and cause friction and conflicts within the group. And at that time, we started getting some negative spirits breaking through our telephone calls and things and giving us unsettling messages, trying to stir up our lives rather than support us. So, like I said, it all depends on your attitude. As long as you have a good attitude, you have good contacts, but if the darker aspects of human nature, the lower aspects, you know, the hatred and the fear and that kind of stuff, starts taking over, then it opens up the channels to negative spirits.
Well, you know, the experts believe, and especially the exorcisms, the exorcists and demonologists believe that when you open up a conduit like this, that a lot of times they'll come through first as helpful spirits, meaning to bring you help and you know, do all this stuff, and then it turns out that they're not so much, you know, it's more of an evil or malevolent spirit or demonic that's doing these type of things. I mean, have you had any, I understand you're coming from a place of light, but even the light can be tricked. Have you ever thought, you know, I'm wondering what these messages are really about. Are they screwing with us? Are they trying to set us up for a fall? Are they trying to use us? I mean, it's like a science fiction fantasy here. They're helping you build machines to make communications. Have they ever told you guys how to build a machine that you thought, what if we're inviting whatever the hell's out there onto our planet through this conduit we're about to connect?
After my 15 years of research, I'm absolutely convinced that if people can work together in harmony, you open up channels to this paradise world and you get fantastic, wonderful beings working with you. And if you if it breaks down into conflicts here on Earth, then that opens up it creates dissonance and it breaks down the channel that these higher beings can work with us. So negative spirits can break in. But I think it's mostly our own attitudes that allow that opening to happen.
But arrogance and vanity follow all of us. And on an amazing experiment like this and getting yielding the results you guys were getting, isn't that going to be hard to do, to find a group that will be united for that long and share these things to keep the communication open without somebody losing their mind doing this?
Yes, and that's exactly why ITC right now is at a kind of a hibernation stage. Mm-hmm. It's a project that's being directed and guided by the other side. And we can only seem to open up the channels as much as they'll let us. And until we can...
Well, are you looking for new people to plug in, new faces to start? And what do you need? Did you have to have a scientific background? Could it be, you know, say a radio DJ, a guy that works the fry cook machine at McDonald's and yourself?
Yes.
That could come together?
I'm sure it could be any of those people.
That's it. We're making our own super friends, man. We're going to do this.
Yeah, that'd be great. I've tried two other groups since then, and they've both kind of fallen apart for the same reason. It's just difficult to sustain this harmony, but it can be done. I know it can be done. It's got to be the right people.
Well, you know, we've spoken to a lot of people in the field that are very tight in this field that really want to make leaps and bounds and changes, and they're all very humbled people, very, you know, behind-the-scenes working people that don't need the limelight. How can they get in touch with you if they're listening? How can they get in touch with you to try to make themselves available to you to make these communications?
I can be contacted through either website, spiritfaces.com or worlditc.org.
All right, and then just, again, I mean, you know, I said, could it be just anybody, but what could I bring to the table to be a part of this event with you? I mean, I'm not asking to do it, but I'm just saying, you know, just as a regular guy who has a radio show, what all would I offer to you?
All it would take on part of anyone is just goodwill, basically, goodwill.
Okay.
That's it. And being able to sustain that goodwill over time. And
so I don't have
keeping,
to be technically...
keeping the ego and the hormones in check, you know, that's the big thing.
I don't have to be technically minded to know how to build the things they tell me to build or to do the things that they want us to do.
Technology, I think, is less than 5% of this. It's, I think 95% plus is the attitude and the willingness to work together on putting the ego in check, you know.
All right. Well, Mark, I can't thank you enough for the time you've spent with us tonight. I mean, it's fascinating, the topics. And again, people, I suggest you check out his website, worlditc.org and spiritfaces.com. Check out those two sites. And again, if you go to worlditc.org, there's a link to his other site there. You can contact Mark.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you out at the Stanley and being a part of this and seeing these experiments ourselves.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that also. You know, talking to you is kind of like talking to a friend. I think that's why you have such a good radio show. And that's why it's just enjoyable to be here, you know.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate hearing that. And, you know, we'd love to have you on the show again, and maybe we'll talk to you after the Stanley event. We can talk about the cool things that we had happen there.
Sounds good, Dave.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Mark, and thank you, everybody, for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show this evening. We appreciate you spending your Super Bowl Sunday with us here this evening and sharing every Sunday with us. Again, remember, we're here live every Sunday from 10 to midnight Central Time. We also invite you to check out our website at darknessradio.com. Click the Discuss button and join our bulletin board. Share your thoughts and ideas with other like-minded paranormal professionals. And also, you can join us in our live chat room every Sunday night during the show as well. Just go to darknessradio.com, click on the Listen tab, and click on the live chat. Thanks again. We'll be back again next week with a whole new show. I appreciate the time you spent with us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.